Okay, today's daf is Daf Tet Zayin, and we begin about four lines down. So let's have a look as follows. Rav Yehuda shalach, he sent the following question, shalach le Rav Elazar. So again, we've been seeing many questions Rav Yehuda sent to Rav Elazar. Hachin shechalku. So you've got brothers that have been living off the estate. They haven't divided the estate yet. So there's been a period of time after, before they did the division, that they're really all being supported equally, or probably in this mission, not exactly so equally. When it comes to then dividing, do we have to do an accounting of what was done prior to that point while they were sharing the estate to make things fair or not? So, when it comes to the clothing that they're wearing, that they've financed from the estate, well, then we say, okay, well, you bought very fancy clothes. We'll deduct that from, or you bought five suits and you had one suit. So let's balance things out. However, not when it comes to the clothes for their children or their daughters. We'll see. It seems to be here, certain things they will be mochel on and certain things will not be mochel on. That's a principle behind this when it comes to other things. So it seems they're more makpid what their brothers are wearing as opposed to what their children are wearing. Let's continue. However, Rav Imi Amar, while we've said that when it comes to their family, that they're more flexible. Rav Imi, however, says, Ha'oseh shum lebito, bito, not beito, bito to their daughter. Meaning, if one of the heirs is marrying off their own daughter and they make a big nadunya based on the value in the estate, well, in that situation, they're clearly not mochel on that. It says, okay, you took that's part of your chelek. Now let's deduct that from your share. Okay, I'll say katla lebito. Now, katla is generally understand as some sort of like a necklace or a choker or something like some sort of piece of jewelry. However, the way the Korbanit explains it here, it says beged sheshlav shnatzim ke'ein michnasayim. So it's like some sort of beged that has loops around it, like trousers. Machneset bo rutzwa, put a strap of the kosherer, but it's actually tied around the neck. Va'beged taloy al liba. So it's almost like a bib that would be in the front. Okay, and it was sort of rest down over in front of by the chest like a bib. Well, if I mean, sometimes it's chashuv and sometimes it's less chashuv. So what we're saying now is, then we say ein mevin la'em, so we don't calculate that. But the Gemara says that depends. Beruyelish tamesh bechol, that's referring to where it's a regular run-of-the-mill one. Then it'll be no difference to the clothes. Aval beruyelish tamesh beregel, if we're talking about a fancy one that we go on yontov. Then maybe in the M, and then we deduct that. Okay, you bought your children jewelry and the like. That's expensive things. Well, that can be deducted from your share. Rav Manna says, okay, kli regel chulchim. What about kli Shabbos? That's tricha. When it comes to Shabbos, I don't necessarily know. Seems to be here from the Gemara. It seems to suggest that on Yontav they had fancier things. Well, that kind of makes sense because there's a mitzvah beregel to buying nice things. So therefore, Bashabbos is a bit of a question. However, Rav Avin says, Pishele ben klei regel, blein klei Shabbat. When it comes to Shabbos, the ontav clothes, maybe in the ends of the chukim, we would that would be it would be deducted from his share. Okay, Razira bai kamei Rav Mana, ilin bulsaya. Now bulsaya here, Korbanei says, Hanach maraot shel zchuchit, shabnon ro'ot behem, sort of mirrors basically. Are they like big day chol? And we just say, okay, they're mochel, or is it more than that? So Gemara says, Amar leih chakim at de'it le'bulsay segin. I see here that you're even raising this as a question. You've got many of these things, meaning nikar ata sheyesh lecha mar'ot harbeh, lefichach ata shu'el aleihem. However, the Gemara says, Amar leih mivi'in v'cholkim. It says, it's interesting here, it's sagin. What we've got here, not, instead of Amalei, Korbanei takes out the Amalei, he says, Mevin v'chokin simply. In other words, they're not considered clothes and would have to do a deduction based on their value. Okay, next question Rabbi Yehuda sent, Rabbi Yehuda Shalach and Sha'al Rabbi Elazar. Ma'u legabot, sorry, min avim kakarkot. Meaning, if they're trying to collect from the Yorshim some money that is owed and things like that, we know we can collect from land, but can you collect from the Avadim as well? So, in other words, we treat it like karka. Now, before we said it's not like karka in that respect for a Baal Chov to be able to collect from, but here it says, Amarle govim karka. It seems to be, I assume, unless the cases are slightly different, enough to be a different din, but it sounds like this is cholek. Amarle govim avanim karkot. And Hor Reb Elazar le'ilin de Beir Rav Yana legabot min avanim karkot. That they can be collected from the Avadim. Okay, next. Rav Yehuda Shalach also sent another question. Shalach Sha'al le Reb Elazar. Ha'anas v'ha'gazlan v'ha'ganav. These are people that steal property. Now, obviously, with their court or they wanted chuppa, they have to pay back. What happens if they stole an animal and the animal died? Now, the carcass has a value. What happens now? Do you return the carcass, and then just pay the difference because of the owner? Or do we say the person who stole it, the animal's dead, you can deal with the finances regarding how to turn that into money, and just you have to pay him the entire amount back? That's the question, the question here. Samalei, we say no, that the Baalim have no responsibility to deal with the corpse and how to recover funds from the hide and things like that. The ganav has to return it all. So, where do we know this? What's a pasuk? It's actually interesting. So, like a play on the words in the pasuk, it says, so the way that literally means is that if you find the animal that was stolen, case of gneiva, where what is paid back is double, if alive, then they have to pay back double. That is what the pasuk says, but it sounds like here it says chayim shnayim mishalem. That's how he's midorashim, meaning when it's chayim, that's when you return the actual animal back. But if it's not alive, you don't give the carcass back. That's if you like the makor. However, ad kudun, that makes sense for geneva, where again a difference in geneva and gazela. Geneva is someone who steals secretly under the cover of dark, and a gazlan. Gzela, in the case of Gzela, the person is like, oh, "Highway bandit, cool, meet his victim face to face." In that situation, he only pays a single amount back; he doesn't pay back double. Okay, so the Gemara says, "What about we don't have a pasuk for Gzela? Because it says no." Amar Rav Avin, we've got a pasuk for that as well. Vashivata Gzela Asher Gazal, meaning you have to return that which you stole. You know what? When do you return something? That's when it's be'ena, when it is as you stole it. But if it was, if it died, then we can say that the ganav is like is, through the shinu, if like his kone, he's not responsible for. So then the owner says, "Well, give me the full value. I don't want to deal with any carcasses and corpse. Sorry, carcasses and hides and things like that." Okay, that's the string of question of Yehuda sent to Rav Elazar. Let's now learn the next mission. Zahalachahei. So back to property. Now explain, nechasim refers to land. So language of achrayut, the Korbanit explains, in the middle of a Dibur nechasim, he says, achrayut lashon chazara, like sort of returning and going back. Malva, because that malva can chozer go after or go, right? Malva aleim, v'toroftam. And he can collect his money owed to him from land that was sold after the time of the loan. So that's what's achrayut in that sense. That's how he understands it. Shloim when he doesn't have it. So therefore, we're talking about land. So nachatzim sheshleim achrayut, that's kesef, shtar, and chazaka. The three means that we've already learnt. However, she'en lemachrayut, meaning simply movable objects, ein neknim, the kinyan for that is by meshicha, by drawing it towards you. Now, the Gemara says, "Nechasim." So this is a concept of what's called a kinyan agav, meaning you can purchase metalin using the means or the forms of acquisition that one would apply to land if it's bought along with land. Kinyan agav karka. And again, as explained, that helps you, for example, purchase items that you can that are in a different location. You can't do meshicha on. How do you purchase those things? Oh, you can do it agav karka. You sell some land, and a bank on that land, you able to sell those objects. Because with land, you don't have to pick it up. You can't pick up land. You have kesef shtar chazaka to do so. Similarly, so that's where, if you like, metaltlin can be dragged along into or pulled into the laws of karka. But now we're saying that it also works the other way around. We've kind of mentioned this for she'en le'im achrut, meaning there's no shvua regarding karaka, movable objects, in a legal context. Where, however, we do find that you can obligate another party to make a shvua regarding metaltalin. We've seen other examples of that already before. And what this means is through what's called a gilgul shvua, if you've already obligated him to make a shvua regarding karaka, you can bundle into that shvua through a gilgul shvua, you can require him to also, while you're making a shvua, add this reference to karaka as well. So that's here where you can pull in the laws of karaka into the laws of metaltalin, not through agav, but through gilgul shvua. Okay, that's a Mishnah. Gemara now says, "Nachasim sheshlam achriot rishona, how would they do a kinyan by karaka?" That was through shlifat min'al. That they used to do it by simply taking off his shoe and handing it to the other party. That was, again, because the whole point of a kinyan is to demonstrate in a public fashion or some sort of obvious way that ownership is being transferred. So they used to do it with a shoe. Okay. So Gemara asked, well, how do they do that? So this is from Megillat Rut, where Boaz, we'll see who took off whose shoe in a moment, but who took off their shoe, but it seems to be that was done in the times of Rut. The Gemara says, Mishalaf, who takes off their shoe? So Taman Amrin, Rav Velevi, there's a machloket, Chadamar Hakone, the purchaser takes off his shoe, hands it over to the seller, and in exchange, we'll get the land. It's kind of a bit like a chalipin type of style, but it's not exactly chalipin, but it's a bit like that. However, the Chadamada says, no, it's the makne. Meaning, it seems to be, the way Korban explains it, is that there's certain level of hana'a that one gains by giving someone else something. So in exchange for the hana'a received, having given the shoe, the mocher gives it. Through that, he's also, that is, if you like, the mechanism which the land is being sold. So machloka, who gives who the shoe? Fine. Now Gemara says, Va'akin in plukta, plukvata, I think, in plukvata. So it seems to be a machloket actually carries on to the case of, in case of Boaz. Because it was a machloket, who gave who the shoe? Datani Boaz, who in this situation was the, if Boaz gave his shoe, Natana Goel, because Boaz in this situation was the koneh, he acquired the, if you like, he was doing Yibum to Rut and acquired the properties of and the like. So he's doing the Geula, right? So that would be, according to Shita, that says the koneh does it. However, Rebuta says the Goel, Noten Leboel. Leboel, Boaz, sorry. The Goel gave his shoe that way, and that would be the Mocher, if you like, doing the fine. Now, Chazru, however, as time went on, it changed to be Chazru Liyot Konim Beketzitza. They would do it with Ketzitza. Now, the question is, Mahu Ketzitza? What's his Ketzitza? That was Bishash Hayu Adam Mocher Sadeh Achuzato, when if someone sold their ancestral lands, right? So hayu krovav mevi'in chaviot ve'guzim. They would bring barrels filled with parched kernels and egozim and nuts. The shovrim, and they would break it before the tinokot. V'antinokot melaktim, and the young children would pick it up. Orim niktzat ploni machuzato. That the person has, that's a tzitzah, it's been broken, that's like a smashing, if you like, and that's an outward demonstration that he's being niktzat, he's been cut off from his achuzah, from his land. So again, this is slightly different, you can see, but it's another public demonstration of an act of significance. And through which we say, okay, the land has been purchased. However, b'shashah, if you would purchase the stachels are back, we say, they'll do the same thing again. He's returned home. So equally public display. Fine. 1 second. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Reb Yossi bar Bun, Af Mishino say Shasha in Hugenet. Also, if a woman ended up marrying, so a man married a woman that he was halakhically shouldn't have been marrying, we say, Hayu Krovam Mivin they do the same thing, Mivin Otak Kleot Begozim, Beshovrin, Lifnatin, the break for the children, which Nok Melakdim, Vomrim, Niktzatz ploni mimishtavto. He's been cut off from his family. And that was to show, again, a public demonstration that there was a psul that's been nitarev b'mishpacha and there'd be marchikoto, they'd distance him. However, Shashu Megarsha, if you divorce, I assume that it may be equally public display, Vomrim, Chazar ploni lemishpachto. Okay, they would bring him back. Now, the point I said, that the initial part where they do that was Panei Moshe, I'll just people on the inside, zaram. Right, that means cut off because you can choose to psul, which by your actions it will mean that we can't marry him to you. It wasn't just a, you're cut off from the family type of demonstration. It was for halachic reasons as well. That's why they did it. Okay.
And our minute of throwing candy, it sounds
I
like it
don't know. I don't know.
sounds relevant to this.
Yeah, I don't. I was thinking that as well, but this seems to be quite a negative thing.
In Holland, in the Yekkische Shul, at the signing of the Ksuba, Chosen and Kalle were already sitting together in the Rabbanim room. This was before the chuppah, and they threw rice on them. As a simon to be fruitful, like so many rice, so many children. As for rice kernels, it's called kernels or something.
Sure.
Yeah, so throw rice on them.
Right. So, but I think the question Dov is asking is that those all seem to be positive connotations of what we do nowadays, wearing lollies and
Yeah.
stuff like that. Whereas here, it seems to be negative. So I'm not sure what the if they are. I mean, it sounds like they're ready because it kids to collect them and things like that. But I don't know. I don't know how one became the other. I'm not sure if they are actually related. Okay, we'll have to look that up. Okay, the Gemara says, Chazruliot, but eventually what they did when it comes to land, they would konim bekesev v'shtar chazaka. Why do we know this? Because this is already in Tamzin Miryahu. So the Gemara says, Chazruliot konim bekesev, kesef, so in the end, Chazruliot konim bekesev shtar v'chazaka. Why? And this relates to the Pesukim we've seen before. Kesef, because this is the single pasuk. Sadot bekesef yiknu, v'ktov b'sefer v'chaton, v'ed edim. Right, Beretz Binyamin, etc. Sivishalayim. Right, this is the instruction of Kadosh Baruch Hu to go purchase some land, part of one of the like the nevuahs or associated with one of the nevuahs. So the Gemara now says this is bekesef dot yiknu. That's kesef. Bektov besef vechatom. That refers to edei shtar. That's writing some sort of document. Vayed edim. And when instead that's edei chazaka. The Gemara says really, or einu edei shtar? Isn't this edei, could it be edei shtar? The Gemara says no. Kfar ktiv bektov besef vechatom. We've got reference to a shtar in the pasuk, so edim must be talking about chazaka. Now, this next piece of the Gemara is very similar to what we've seen before. As it says, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rav Mana bar Tamchum says, Rav Aus says b'shem Rav Sar of Yochanan. Ein karka nikne pekachot mishaveh pruta. That you can't purchase land with less than a shaveh pruta's worth. So my time, why? Because it says in the pasuk, which is mentioned, sadot bekesef iknu. And kesef is no less than shaveh pruta. And if you remember, we said this not so long ago, upalig al hahi da'ama Reb Chanina. This is like what Reb Chanina says, because he says kol shekalim shekatu b'Torah aslaim. That's like general shekel. Ubenaviim was a bigger denomination, was a litrin. Ubaktuvim was kintrin. As if you remember, Yirmiyahu was in Neviim, so it should be a bigger amount. So as Gemara says, so before we continue that, chutz except for the kesef, sorry, chutz mishikle Ephron, the money was paid to Ephron. Ma atamik says because malei nenoli. And therefore, that would be a larger denomination, like we learned before. The Gemara says, "V'lo dami," that's not necessarily a kasha, because they're k'tiv kesef, v'achak'tiv shkalim. We got different. Well, the whole principle that was played out in terms of what a shekel is, that's regarding the term shekel. What Chanina said, we're talking about kesef. So, in other words, in k'tiv ela kan ela kesef, v'at you're referring being kashas from shkalim. So, kesef and shkalim can have different semantic meaning. The Gemara says, well, that's lo k'Reb Elazar, the Reb Elazar. One second. If I missed a bit. So, hey, Tibun, hare ones. Sorry, I skipped a line. Let me go back. It says, v'lo damya, taman k'tiv kesef, v'ak k'tiv shkalim. Hey, Tibun, you're talking about ones, hare ein k'tiv kan ela kesef, v'at amar shkalim. So, it's in other words, there when it comes to ones, and there it's in the case of ones, the term is kesef. And there it means not a shaver pruta, it means clearly shkalim. So you see quite clearly it makes no difference if the term is kesef or shkalim the same way we interpret it. We would interpret it exactly the same way. So therefore, avad it must be Rabbi Yochanan Yischolek on the principle set up by Rav Chanina, because he said back in, again, Rav Chanina says when it comes to Nevi'im, it's going to be litrin when it says kesef, whereas we just saw that Rav Yochanan said that it actually means it has to be, it can't be less than a shaveh pruta. But nonetheless, having just said it's kesef, shtar, and chazaka when it comes to land, we said that look, Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer, my hiluch, that simply walking on the field, walking on one's field that he's purchasing, that would also be a type of kinyan. Datani hiluch pastero karvoch bokana. An makom hiluch, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim says, no, loy kodash yachzik. That's a machloket. So we see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's another act through which one can act do a kinyan, form a kinyan that's walking on it. But however, the Gemara says, "Hakol modim b'mocher shvil." If he sells a path to an individual, kevan sheyilech b'kanayol. Again, because we said since the only use of a path is to walk in it, even Chachamim would agree that walking through it would be active. It would be a demonstration of some sort of kinyan. Presumably, like a probably assume under him would fall like a chazaka. However, the Gemara says, "Hakol modim." Sorry, ma tam. What's the proof? He says, "Kul mitalech ba'aretz." Now, here I just want to show you this because I didn't mention this last time. But if you look at the Korban Eda, he says, "My timer." There's two ways to understand what the "my timer" is. Bringing the proof. The proof is one is the Rebbe Eliezer. One is the Rebbe Eliezer of Halich Koneh, that this proof is coming to prove that according to Eliezer, that walking is a means of acquisition. Inami, the other way is Afilu Rabbanan. No, maybe this is even a proof to Rabbanan that in other words. My time is bishvil hiluch kone. So according to the Inami, they're saying, which is not like I explained it, that it's not like that it's chazaka. We'd need to find a proof of from the coin of the chachamim that for a pathway, walking is indeed a means of acquisition because it doesn't fit into the other three. That's what the Inami would be. And therefore, kumita lech baret. So there are again two ways to understand exactly why we bring this pasuk. Now, back to the Gemara. Bishtar. So the Rebbe Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, Bishtar al manat shalo li ten kesef, aval Bishtar al manat li ten kesef, lo kana ad shiten. So we just said writing contract, signing it is you've made the acquisition. That, however, according to this understanding, is only if we're dealing with makom she al manat shalo li ten kesef, that you're not going to pay it all. What would that be? That would be matana, by way of a gift. Meaning a shtar can close the deal on its own only if it's a gift. However, if it's not a gift, if you have to pay as well, the kinyan is not finished, according to the opinion, until the money is paid. Okay? So Rav Yona, Rav Yossi, Tarveva says, no, I feel the non-atan kesef. What are you talking about? Even without paying, it would be kone. The shtar on its own should be kone. So the Gemara says, manini masayle le Rav Yona, Rav Yossi. That we've got a proof to support exactly Rav Yossi and Rav Yona. Why? Because it's machalo seteo kecha. Let's say someone sold 10 fields at once. Kevan shichzik becharmen. We've seen this before as well. As long as he did chazak on one of them, then hichzik bekulam, he's purchased all 10 fields. That's point number one. Avalim la natano demeyachat mehem. If he paid for one of them, or shola katavlo or no, or he only wrote a shtar for one of them, alachat mehem says, lo kana elto shemachar lo bilvad. The point of that brighter is that if money's paid for one, or shtar's paid for one, you purchase one. But even if you intended to buy all 10, but if you intended to buy all 10, you chazaka one, it purchases all. But what you see here, we talked about two different things. If you paid or you did a contract, you know, for one of them, then you purchased only one. So Gemara says, clearly, says, v'chi yesh ono b'lo kesef, according to you, there's no such thing as a contract without money, if you have to pay. So it should be, if you paid for one of them, what do you mean you paid for one of them or he wrote a contract for one of them? You can't have a contract without payment. But so therefore, quite clearly, in Tema Bishnan, so full stop. So therefore, quite clearly, you see that a shtar on its own is enough. So in Tema, if you want to say Bishnan Dame Kulam, Anamakayamim, Lo Amar, Ela Dame Achad Mehem, Ela Ohada Ohada. Now, if you want to say that Kesef is one and all Kesef is for all of them, that's not true because if a Kesef is a Achad Mehem. So it quite clearly says achad mehen, achad mehen. So it has to be that we're talking about a shtar is without money on its own would acquire, even the money eventually has to be paid, of course, but it's already considered sold. And when it comes to, and also money is a separate means of acquisition. Fine. I understand. So when it comes to kesef. So Rabba Savar Mema, he thought to say, but kesef al manat shelo lichtov oni. He thought to say that when is kesef purchased on its own, that's in a place important where they don't write contracts. However, in a place where they do write contracts, once again, it's almost like the same assumption, but in reverse. That in a place where they write a contract, money alone wouldn't form the acquisition. However, if you want to once again, plug-in, it says, meaning, no, money also should acquire. Now the Gemara says, now Rav Ba says, if you remember, in a place where the custom is to write a contract, money alone wouldn't acquire. That's like Shitat Shmuel, okay? And Rav Huna is like Rav Yochanan, which we'll get to in a moment. Okay, so let's understand first the Rav Ba Kishmuel. So Rav Shmuel Shmuel says Shmuel Sha'al Rav Huna Shochet V'Nitasek B'Kodshim. He asked two questions. One is if someone shechts and he's Nitasek B'Kodshim, so he shechted and wasn't aware of what he was doing. Importantly, the way Korban explains it, Shachach B'Shachit, the time he was shechting it. He forgot that it was actually a korban. He thought it was just a regular animal, right? Is it pasul? So amar lei lirtzonchem, meaning when the korban have to be offered lirtzonchem, it means it comes to exclude prat lemitasek. That's halacha number one. Next one, katav matana b'lashon knia. What happens if you write you want to give someone a gift, but you write it in the form of a sale? Okay, I'm selling this land when it was really just a gift. So it says amar lei. Arkavei atri richa, We have to explain what expression means, but it seems to be he's put himself in an interesting position. We'll discuss that soon. However, Amravava lo kiblash mothmul didn't accept that situation. So let's just read the Korbanina now, but it's a little bit ahead of itself because it's based on what we're going to learn a bit later on. It says, Truvat Rav Huna de Kasav Rakivan Tahach Shtar Lav Klum. In other words, he didn't accept the answer of Huna, of which we'll explain, because according to Rav Huna, it means it would work. And according to Shmuel, it says it wouldn't work. So he didn't accept the answer of Rav Huna. The kasav rakivan dahach shtar lav klum. He thought this shtar is meaningless. Afagav demitchila zikalo. Despite the fact he said, I'm giving it to you as a gift. Kivin etata, since his intention was to write a shtar. And look, lichtov shtar lo kana ad shichtov lo shtar ma'ali. He has to write a shtar that is appropriate. Okay. And here the shtar doesn't fit what you did. You gave a gift and you wrote it was a sale. So therefore, you see quite nicely that their Shmuel is holding like Rava, meaning the giving of a gift, since it was Almanat, I will write a shtar, and it wasn't a proper shtar, it wasn't a matana. That aligns perfectly with Rava. If you remember, Rava said that if in a place where one writes a contract, handing over the money, the sale's not done until the contract's actually written. Okay, so they go together. Now, if that's the Almanat, if that's the... Well, in that situation, it's a practice, or if it's the intention, then even though normally independently you might think it would work on its own, no, that later thing is required to close it. But let's just, that's the point we're going to get to. But Gemara now first needs to flesh out what we just learned. Well, this discussion between Shmuel and Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Arkavei atrei richshei barkei. So the Gemara says, Sabri meimar mighty trei. So the expression is susavan means susin shataya, crazy horses. Umarach vin lay al treon, and you're trying to ride on both of them. They're both going in different ways. You've achieved nothing. That's the first way of understanding what it means. You try to matana and a little bit lashon kinyan. However, this is where we're aiming for, which is what the commentator was saying. Already, Amarav Yossi says no. So Mimachaya says Yefek Kocho Bishnei Dvarim. He's provided him two, if you like, strong, fast horses. You've given him the benefits. Sheyesh Shiabud leMichira veEin Shiabud leMatana. On the one hand, Shamochel Lo Machar Takol veNotamatan Natana Takol. So Yefek Kocho. Let's look at the Korban Eder. He says Hader of Chuna Arkavei Treshrich veHainu Shnatan Lo Shteikol gave him two benefits. Meaning, if a shtar mechira, if something happens to it, what happens is the purchaser can go back to the seller and say, well, you owe me back. You owe me my money back. For example, if a creditor seized it. So therefore, im babachov shel noten v'lakach menu yashuvu letzvoa. So by writing, giving a gift and writing it as a sale, he's almost giving him a guarantee on the gift. But what benefit is it being a, if you like, a matana? What benefit is that? Is shamochers, if someone sells a field stump, not everything is necessarily included in the sale. For example, a mochar bovadut, if there's a well and things like that. But if someone gives a gift, he gives matan, he gives it with ayin yafa. He gives it in generously, and everything is included in the gift. So that's why. So in other words, if we go back to this discussion, when Shmuel asked Rav Huna, and he says, listen, what happens in a situation if he wants to give a man rights as a matana? According to Rav Yossi, who we're going like at the moment, he says, the Rav Huna responds, he's giving him the change in language is to really to be the benefit of the recipient, to give him a guarantee on the land and ensure that this is it's a full gift. Okay, Shmuel disagreed because he said, since when you gave the matana, it seemed to be your intention just to write a shtar as well, and it's not appropriate, it's not accurate shtar, then the gift doesn't even work. That's Shitat Shmuel. And that at this stage we're saying it aligns very nicely with the opinion of Rava that in a place where they would write contracts, even after money is paid, we say paying over the money, the acquisition is not completed until the contract is written. So it aligns very nicely. What we haven't done yet is a continuation of the Gemara, which we'll stop now because we've already gone over time, but is the alignment of the other Shitot. We'll see another example. B'nai Session, we'll do that next year. This because there's a... About 10, the next week is about 12 lines. I mean, that's, we need about 12 lines of learning. All right, Seder, Goldtel, have a good day.
Thank you. Safe trip.
Thank you so much, Goldtel.